Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
You know, when we start that show and you play those tones that go bink, 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 that goes right down into my right nut.
The countdown tones?
Yes, I thought I'd share that, right?
Boop, boop, boop. Would you like something different? Because, you know, now that they've canceled 60 Minutes, we could steal their tick, tick, tick.
No, I'm happy with that. And they have not canceled 60 Minutes, even though that is your running joke. They have
okay,
not.
Okay, keep saying it, Mike. You know what? CBS apologist, I know you worked for them and you want to keep up the company line, but the show is gone, Mike, and face it.
We're going to have a good show today because Rob took a giant dump right before the
show
started.
You see, that's not true. I took a leak. That's all.
All right. So I alerted the guys that I was going to be late today coming in here. And then when I arrived at 10 minutes after the hour, we tape at 8:15. Rob was nowhere to be found. And I said, where's Rob? And he said he's going out to fill his cup up. And then he was gone. What Josh and I concurred was a little longer than the normal cup filling. And I said, right. Well, he's probably taking a big fat deuce.
You see, that's not true, though.
And then Rob said, and that's too big a hat. So he said, my hat's too big.
Oh, so that's what this is all about.
See, the hat's not too big. You just look like that Lego guy with the red shirt and the blue hat.
Maybe his head is too small. Maybe the hat is just right.
I like a large hat.
Yeah, but that's not, everyone has a look in a hat, and that's not your look. It's a bigger hat than normal. Now let's try that one. Now everyone looks perfect in that hat. That's great. You see, that's the hat you should be wearing anyway. Our TMOS hat, which is available at TMOSstore.com.
How's that?
Beautiful, beautiful.
Is that better?
Yes, and it's Mike O'Mara's show.
See the way I changed
show.
It so you didn't see, see my bedhead?
And I'm just reminded of this little guy.
That's it. That's, you know what? Way to go, Josh. I thought we were going to wait till next year to show our new publicity still.
It's very, very exciting.
Can you bring up our publicity picture one more time?
We just got to get you in those overalls.
Yeah, well, I've got overalls. That's Mike in the red shirt. Yeah, it's great. It's perfect. And we can sign that at the opening of a supermarket or anything.
Well, it's a bit of a sad day in the O'Mara household today. I'm sorry to report that the season is officially over. Fall baseball is officially over. And just didn't have the arms, didn't have the ponies last night, and didn't have my starting pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Had one down because of a bad arm. I could handle that. I couldn't handle two down because of a bad arm. And unfortunately, the lead that the red team got out to was insurmountable, even though we tried to mount a little bit of a comeback, had a great double play in the middle of the game. And unfortunately, the last person at bat who hit a sharp grounder right up the middle was snared by the pitcher and threw him out, and that last out was my son. And he was, for a brief period of time, somewhat inconsolable. But as I pointed out to him, making contact in this division at this age is a good thing, especially with a guy that's throwing heat, which this pitcher was. So, you know, I like it when they make contact. It's exciting. And it was fun, and I would...
What was the final score?
7-5, I think.
So it wasn't a blowout? I mean,
wasn't
that's a respectable score there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's not a fire to the manager type loss.
Oh, but the manager would be pretty happy to be fired after this season. It was
time
great.
To retire.
I love the kids. I'm not coming back. That was my last experience.
The
doing
Earl
it.
Of Estero.
You know, that's not true. If there's some manager that wants an assistant out there, be happy to do it. Absolutely be happy to do it. I go to all the games anyway, so I might as well.
You'll be in the game for a long time, like Don Zimmer.
The Zipper.
And if you're like me, you want to quit today, and in 6 months you'll be like, all right, I'll do it again.
Yeah. I like doing it. I kind of dig it, and I might do it next fall. Here's a trivia question about Don Zimmer, and I love when Rob brings up we've played the clip of Don Zimmer getting thrown out of the Cubs game,
It's almost horrifyingly sad because he's an older man at this point. Yeah, we've watched it.
Mm-hmm. No, you might be thinking of the Yankees game. That's when he's older.
Okay.
This is
I've not seen this one.
Zimmer thrown out Cubs. and it is Harry Carey doing the play-by-play. If you can find that, Josh, it's really, it's one of my favorites. And
how
the umpire with his
unkempt
hair. Oh, Rob, you're going to love this.
Oh, I can't wait.
And then the last line is from Harry Carey, and it's spectacular. It's one of my all-time favorites. It's up on my – it's in easily in my top five now, and I only discovered it in the last year. But it's an old clip because that's how long ago.
I feel sorry for the people of now who only know Harry Carey from the bad Will Ferrell bit on Saturday Night Live, because Harry Carey was so endlessly entertaining.
Oh, bigger than life.
Just being himself.
Bigger than life. Chicago, massive market, media market. And, you know, you had these guys that worked baseball games that were larger than life, but nobody larger than life. Vin Scully was a superstar, but Vin Scully was a real, like, controlled broadcaster
almost
superstar.
Almost like that anti-Harry Carey.
Yeah,
they're
Harry
very
Carey
different.
Was a total character, almost a caricature of himself. He really, really was special. And the way this goes, a lot of times when managers, and I think Josh will back me up on this, when managers get thrown out of baseball games, they get it from the dugout. They'll be saying, an umpire will hear something from the dugout, and he throws the manager out, and sometimes it's not the manager's fault. And Zimmer, the only thing he's guilty of is he puts his hands up like this, and he gets thrown out right after that. Yeah. But he's yelled something before. Do we have that that clipperoo?
I think I'll have it in a moment. Having some computer trouble.
That's all right.
And I'm assuming it's
okay, come here, come here. Bring him in. Bring him in for just holding his hand on me for a sec while Josh is working on that.
Yeah.
I want to bring in the stubster. Want to bring in the stubster here.
Oh, hey, right. Stubby.
Let me ask you a question. Does this look like a Boston Terrier to you?
Hold it. Everyone be quiet. I love hearing him sniff.
Hello, buddy.
You know, I still play the game with Linus where I hide a treat behind my ear so I can hear
He's
him sniff.
Again. Can you sniff it again?
That's because the mic screen smells like dad.
Dad's breath.
Why does his mic screen smell like olives?
He's a sweet. He's getting sweeter too.
Mike, he does look like to me, he does look like the breed you claim him to be, the Boston Terrier.
Well, the snout, if you look at the snout is snoot. a little elongated for a Boston. That's what I'm told. My sister started this when she came to visit us. My sister started this by saying
trouble, causing trouble.
Like, yes, she is. She's trouble with a capital T, saying he looked more like a pit bull. Which is
well, there's a lot of
joke.
Pit bull. A lot of pit bull blood runs deep in the dog industry. Have you done the thing where you find his breed? You do the swab.
He got
and
papers.
You find
Carla bought him. Carla bought him. Like,
but
for,
Mike, I'm
for,
saying paper
like
is 23
and me.
Yeah, they have like a 23andMe for dogs that when we got it done, Carrie argued with them.
It's at Rancestry.com.
That's it.
Rancestry. Rancestry.com. But I don't know. I'm giving the listeners a really good look at him.
You've got to do the test, Mike, and then see if it jives with the papers.
But what do you do? If it's the
what do you do?
Dog,
take a blood test?
Well, that's right.
If it's the wrong dog, we don't
know.
No,
what do you do if
him?
You find out?
You
hey,
contact
Carla,
the breeder and say, hey, what's all this then?
Can you
and then
him,
you could probably get a price adjustment.
Take a look at that face.
Do you have the receipt?
I don't know. I had a dog before that did not look like its parents at all when it grew up. But I know it came from those dogs.
Not an adoptee?
No, it wasn't an adoptee. It was like I got it from a friend.
See,
so
we
I
got
knew those were the parents.
But we got Linus right. from a German Shepherd rescue site.
He's and 8 months old, and his ears are supposed to pop up at 4 months. And look at his ears, too.
Well, maybe you haven't said look anything his, interesting.
Look at his pit bull ears.
They are sort of pity, yeah.
Yeah. You how's can't it? Argue with that one.
So that, but here's the thing, Josh. Thing. I'm not looking for the dog is staying with us, but there might be some cash going back into Mrs. O'Mara's bank account.
Yeah, I would say you definitely need to run the test.
Which happens to be my bank account as well, so I really hope
and
that
would be, you know, that would come in handy, what with the spending freeze.
Yeah. We could use it at Christmas time. That would be wonderful.
And,
bark
is what you want, apparently.
Bark?
E-M bark.
Oh, M bark.
To do a dog DNA test.
Oh, all right. That's good. All right. And because you'll know. If that doesn't meet the if that doesn't match the papers, we march right down there and get a refund.
Yeah. Well, at least a partial refund.
Yeah,
I would say if he's like, if he's 50% Boston Terrier, you should get 50% back.
Yeah, it's like if you get a broken table.
I think
exactly
which we discussed yesterday. All right, did we find the Zimmer?
I believe that.
All right,
this
so
says,
Rob, let me see if this is the right one.
It says Don Zimmer loses his mind.
Okay, this is great. All right, this
Bob,
is that's
I'm
it.
Hope this isn't an explanation.
I return the call for you because I've never talked to the White House before.
No, no, that's a different one.
That's the
different
wrong one.
Yeah. Oh man.
It would
this
be really
like
bad
over
if you
a home run call.
All right, hold on. No, it's a Rick Sutcliffe is batting when all that right clip starts.
Oh, so this is a new tape.
let's see. Hold on just a second. I'll find it. I'll see if I can find it too. It might be one of those clips that's hard to find.
I would hate to be a person on the internet
to
that
put Zimmer ejected, maybe.
That if it writes Josh, you know, someone loses their mind and that's not the clip that makes you look bad. If you have that many clips running on YouTube.
Don Zimmer, fight with umpire, 1989.
Ah, year I graduated.
Don Zimmer, fight with umpire, 1989. Sorry that I didn't give you that at the beginning. Don Zimmer, Rob's referring to when he was a coach for the Yankees and Pedro Martinez threw him to the ground. This, to me,
that to me was funny and horrifying.
If you are a baseball purist, and we've got one of the biggest baseball fans in the world with our executive producer, Josh Soroka, you're going to, this is part of the culture of baseball. As a matter of fact, last night with the Little League game, I had a moment with the ump. I had a pretty good line coming back. Now we have one umpire that works the circuit. I think we have three or four umps that umpire our games. And there was a play at home where our guy obviously slid under the tag of the catcher and was safe, and he called him out. And I was like, "Oh, come on, really?" That's usually my retort. Yeah. I go, "Really, really?" And I'm like, "Oh, come on." I mean, it was like, everybody saw it. That was, and he comes over. And his line to me, the umpire, who was really a heavy-handed umpire to start with, he was really into lecturing. He gave me a lecture on having somebody ready when the catcher's equipment wasn't on to warm up the pitcher. I knew that. We were just running a little late. Ump, I don't need you to lecture me on that. So he walks over, and right in front of my team, he says, "Oh, you really going to do that? You really going to show eight kids in back of you how this done?" I said, "I'm showing eight kids what a bad call looks like."
Look at you. Hey. And what did he say? What did he say to that?
He just walked away. And then later on he got mad at another kid and then lectured the team again. But anyway, this
he sounds like a dick.
arguing is part of the game.
Oh,
as
yeah.
you will
it
see
is.
In a moment here. All right, I'll tell
so
you
let's
when
see if this
up.
Is it. This is Don Zimmer fight with umpire 1989.
Okay,
the other one was 1984.
Okay, great. He was an umpire.
Along with Ellie and Don Volpe from Manuka, Illinois.
It's Harry Carey.
And the Carey family.
Oh, it's a good
no
good
relation.
The 84
also on him. Hey, Arnie.
Was also
that reminds me. I saw a banner for you.
This
is
great. That's Rick Sutcliffe, one of the great pitchers in Cubs history. Didn't Sutcliffe play for the O's, too, Josh?
Sut has nine hits for the year. Five RBI.
By the way,
this... Strike two, call.
He's batting like a typical pitcher that doesn't hit.
Robinson was a great athlete in high school.
Kind of a lackadaisical attitude at the plate. Look at this old country boy here.
I was going to say, well, who's that good-looking fella?
That's a Robinson. He's a hurler.
California
he's a big boy.
Football and basketball. There
There's a pitch that he goes around.
He's out now. A little trouble. A little trouble. He's looking over at the dugout right now.
But he strikes out.
And I don't think the umpire's happy because something went down. It hasn't really started yet.
We're gearing up.
From the crowd before he walks up.
And so now the batter's coming up, and the umpire's still looking over at the dugout because they're chirping at him from the dugout.
Last night,
that's Steve Stone.
The players are taking forever to get in and out of that box.
I can't hear you, Josh, over the audio.
And now, Jerry Crawford.
All right, here, now he's looking in the dugout. Now he's looking at Zimmer. They get a close-up of Zimmer.
There he is.
There's Zimmer.
He just got thrown out. Here we go. Here we go, Rob. I'm glad you haven't seen this. This. This
and
is.
He doesn't believe getting the early thumb right, without ever leaving the dugout. I can't believe it myself, but that's exactly what happened.
Oh, they are pissed. You know, you can't hear it, but you can see the volume elevating between the two of them.
It's, I love it. This is a great video day, folks. If you get a chance, check out our video of this. This is one of the all-time greats. Zimmer is arguing his case. Oh, my. Got
face getting redder
there.
And redder.
Oh, and his eyes look like they're going to pop out of his zipper head. By the way, Don Zimmer, Rob, little known fact, plate in his head from a
no kidding.
From being hit by a pitch. Yes.
Wow,
lifetime baseball
that.
Man. All right, you think it's over?
Right, he's walking away.
It ain't
away.
Really over yet. And now the umpire's giving it right back to Zimmer, and now they're really going to get in. Here they go.
Oh God, he yelled his hat off. He yelled so hard his hat came off.
There they go. There they go. Now listen to Harry. There you go. That's enough. All right, that's great. That's the and Harry Carey at the end going, isn't it priceless?
Is Zimmer
Harry
still with
Carey.
Us, Mike?
Oh, no, Harry's long gone. I think Harry's
No, Zimmer.
Oh, Zimmer, he may not be with us any longer either. That
it's
was
amazing because he looked well then.
He passed
in 2014. Yeah. All the great ones have gone.
Didn't he argue when they called him dead? Didn't he argue the call? When they declared him dead.
I'm not dead. Josh, in modern day, is yes. there anybody that might no. fall into the category of fiery umpire, fiery manager anymore?
No, but they've also changed some of the rules. So, like, as soon as you step out of that dugout, you get ejected. So they've clamped down on it with
Why?
The challenge. Because they introduced the challenge rule. And
oh.
But in that
Once
in
they
that
did that,
clip.
Umpires... Umpires, you got a trade. So umpires needed things to not embarrass them in order to get this and back and forth.
But in that clip, wasn't he ejected before he left the dugout?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was
well, that's not
early
fair. That's
can
not
you
fair.
Still argue after you get ejected?
You can. You'll get a fine or whatever. Okay. So there's no one like Don Zimmer, Earl Weaver. None of that exists anymore.
Lou Piniella.
Yeah.
I mean, they were some of the great ones. So I have my moment, and I never got a chance to talk to the umpire at the end of the game because I was going to say, you know, that's. I was going to say, hey, sorry, I lost. You know, lost it there for a second, but hey, that's part of the fun because it really is. And this guy is the only umpire we have that I believe works. Multiple levels. I get maybe you've had this happen, Josh, where you get a guy that can actually do high school and college games as well as the little league games, and he's got all the stuff, man.
He's sort of notable down there. Isn't his name Enrico Palazzo?
Enrico Palazzo.
That's who Leslie Nielsen pretended to be in The Naked Gun when he was the opera singer and then pretended to be the referee or the umpire. He was
in the baseball game. Is that the one where the Queen's at the game?
Exactly. And Ricardo Montalban. It's actually a docudrama.
Really?
No, not really. It's horribly
that's
made
interesting.
Up.
But anyway, it was a little baseball. And I know you might, for people that are listening to me in a massive chunk of the United States that are freezing their pipics off, I will say that, baseball, pretty interesting. But that's down here in South Florida.
But
and,
it's still chilly for you guys, isn't it?
It's still chilly, but that ratio is going to improve in the next few days. So that's exciting. But I heard the statistic that 70% of the United States right around now is under a deep freeze. So that's pretty significant when that much of the United States gets frozen. And this is also the time of year where my Florida world is a little different than Mr. Soroka's Florida world up in St. Augustine, Florida, where what was your low temperature this
37.
Morning? 37. 37. Ooh, wow. That's it.
Oh, this
37 degrees. Yes.
27 in Leesburg, Virginia.
27. It is 59 down here in Fort Myers. For all that. But probably a little chillier, actually. First thing this morning, but not that bad. I put
cold
on my
enough fleece. That the there's a phrase we've used in the past in cold weather called sucker upper dog. Was there any reversal?
There's what is that phrase? I'm sorry.
Sucker upper dog is when a dog
sucker upper dog. I have never heard you say that. I've never heard anybody say that. Sucker upper dog.
It's when a dog's BM is curtailed for some reason or another and abandoned. And sometimes stuff that's headed out might head back in because
it's so cold the dog can't dump.
Because it can be cold or it can be a dog is scared.
No, neither one of my dogs had that dilemma today.
Okay, good.
Neither one.
No SUDs.
I call, but the expression only that I use for my dogs is a double pumper. And a double pumper is when your dog dumps tight, which I cannot stand when a dog, you know, it's just like, how do you do a full dump? Walk, 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 and then another full dump. But I guess humans do it too.
Yeah, ask me before the show, Mike.
So that's as you were filling your cup.
Mike, I did not take a dump this morning.
I know you did.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So it's freezing down here.
What's the temperature down there when the iguanas start falling?
That's a great question. That is a great question as to maybe somebody
dropped to like the 30s or
maybe somebody can help us in the comments and you know, oh, there I opened up. They hate it when I open the comments. Let me see. We must see your dog's papers. That's right, Chris.
Okay. So Google says it's below 45 degrees.
So you could have some droppage soon. Yeah.
Now the iguanas down here in South Florida on the east part. Primarily, they're the east side, but we've got a few of them here. And what you don't know about these creatures is that when it gets cold, they fall out of trees because they don't die, but they freeze up.
Suspended
completely.
Animation. Yeah,
I'm not sure why that happens.
It's
I'm
like
not
a
sure
hibernation.
It's what?
It's like a hibernation.
Okay, so they shut down their like body functions.
Hibernation is on purpose. These are just frozen. They just fall out of trees because they can't handle the weather. It's the climate change. They're not designed to be in that kind of cold, and they just fall. But they come back, you know, when it warms up. Spiewak out.
Hey, do we get scripture on the comments very often?
Not often, but no. Ian the Liberal did offer something there. Yeah. You want to read that, Mike?
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Is he talking about you taking the dump?
I don't know, but Mike, no iguanas have fallen yet.
Yes. Anyway, 45 degrees. That's pretty warm. I don't think we got down past 48 here last night.
All right, so the iguanas are safe.
If we even do that.
For now.
Now, listen, everybody, listen up. We are very, very excited because this coming Saturday night, 7 p.m., it's another one of our fabulous, exciting cocktail hours. You remember? Do you remember the last one? Do you remember? You remember when Rob Spiewak was dressed as Jelly Roll and Josh Soroka won the day with his Beetlejuice outfit? Mm-hmm. And what the hell was I? I don't even remember what I was. It was that.
You were a minion. Oh, Michael Minion.
Mine sucked. But it was a cocktail.
But you showed
was the last
your
one.
Ass, which was nice.
Did I really?
No, you didn't.
I wouldn't remember if I did. I've done so many weird things. I've shaved my head, dyed my hair.
Yes.
Taken my shirt off, taken a bath in a kiddie pool out in front of a radio station. I've done all sorts of weird stuff. I really have. I've never gotten tattooed or had anything pierced on the ear. But I did one of the great stunts of all time when I pretended to tattoo a 6-year-old boy.
Yes, that was great.
And the police were called.
Yep.
That was one of my greatest accomplishments. I love that. So this coming Saturday, 7 p.m., it's our Christmas cocktail party Saturday. We've got lots of things planned. The number one thing, we are having a raffle for one of the fruitcakes. If you are looking at those prices that we are selling the fruitcakes for with the auction and you're going, I can't do that. Well, you can now because for a tiny little fee, you can join the what?
$5. That's
it's $5. Get in on the raffle. And how many are we raffling off on Saturday night? One, two, three, eight. Only one?
Mike, there's only 5 fruitcakes total that are available this year. So as the numbers get smaller, your chances get bigger for having to play in the lottery.
What we're going to do, Mike, on Saturday is we are going to spin this wheel.
That's
right.
And
that's how we will determine the winner.
Oh, do I get one?
But Mike, you see, the thing is today the wheel is loaded just with our names because it's a test thing. Do you want to see who wins this time?
I'd like to see. Let's spin the wheel just for fun. It's gambling, and I'm addicted to it. So, let me enlarge my screen here. So,
okay. So what we have here is a wheel with our names on it, and we'll spin it.
And where'd it go?
And it'll random. Well, right now we've got Don Zimmer fight with Empire. Josh will bring it back. And so, Mike, we'll spin the wheel and just for testing, see who wins this morning.
Love your Christmas lights.
Thank you. Do you like the tree?
Mm-hmm.
The tree is nice.
Yeah. Oh, that's very nice.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to spin it
and see who comes up the winner.
All right.
Here we go.
What are we spinning for?
$1 million.
A dollar.
Who gives a dollar? And it lands on Go-Go.
Get a dollar.
Wins. From who?
You.
Okay, I guess. I don't
have
a dollar.
All right, spin it again. Let's see if you want to go double or nothing.
Yes, please, because there's also a spending free. Oh, thank you.
Very good.
There's also a spending freeze in my house.
Okay.
Okay, spinning, and...
Oh.
How did you do, Mike? You're fit.
$4. You owe me $4.
Oh, wait. Josh just edged in.
Oh, Josh got it.
All right. Can't call it early.
yeah, Mike, you can't call it early.
And does that have sound with it, too? One more time. One more spin. This is for our fruitcake raffle on
Saturday
night. We'll
see how the spin works.
It's going to be a big part of this. And we hope you have a million names in there. We really do. We hope that's how it works.
Yay!
And Rob, we all were represented.
Woo, everybody
that's
wins.
Wonderful.
Everybody wins. That's the magic
of
the holidays, Mike.
I think that I have an idea I'll throw out to you guys.
All right.
Yeah, Josh likes to whore out the listeners for different things to contribute, and that's cool.
What does he like to do, Mike?
Whore out the listeners.
Yeah.
Whore us out, really.
I also like to pay the hosts.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
I like that part.
The hosts have to be paid.
Yeah.
Some of them. So what it is, I will do this. I will be taking just me.
Right.
Just me. I think if everybody sang, it would be not necessarily a good thing. I will take Christmas song requests. And if we can't, why are you reacting?
So excited because you know what? Yesterday you were Scrooge all over, and today you are becoming Michael, Mr. Christmas O'Mara, and I'm digging it. It's awesome.
Hold on.
All right. So if I were to request,
check 1, 2, check.
I'll start with something simple. Right. Joy to the World. If I just suggest
what a shit song.
Okay, first of all, language. All right. Second of all, not really an S song, Mike, because it celebrates Christmas. I was trying to take it easy on you. What do you want? Snowflakes? Snowflakes falling? Snow, let it snow. Let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Okay.
Now, will you be able to give me a karaoke track for that?
Yeah, but it wouldn't jive. Your best bet is to play your own karaoke track because of the delay.
Ah, okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. Well, mm-hmm. I'll be prepared for this.
Okay, have a few ready to go. And now the sound of Mike O'Mara.
What? Well, don't play anything with it. I'm just going to do it a cappella.
I was just introducing you.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the snow is so...
What?
That's what you can look forward to Saturday night at our big cocktail.
Now, was that you recording or was that Andy Williams? I can't tell.
For a small, nickel for the cause, I will be taking requests for Christmas songs.
And that's at the cocktail party.
Maybe Rob will, too. Maybe Rob. Josh, do you sing?
I do not sing.
You do not sing.
I will
sing.
Not
That's
be
good.
Singing.
Okay, you will not be singing.
So it's
be,
4 days until the cocktail party.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the raffle tickets are available now.
Okay.
You do not have to be watching live to win.
All right, very good.
But why wouldn't you watch live?
Why wouldn't you?
Watch live? You should be there.
Doesn't the Lord deserve a Porsche? Yes, he does, and he's asked me to drive it.
So 4 days to the cocktail party. How many days do you suppose there are till Christmas, Mike?
Man, I just wish there was some way I could know or somebody who could remind me of exactly the thing is my voice.
22 days.
Shopping, 22 days to fill the stocking. 22 days for Christmas shopping. Only got 22 more. Only got 22 more.
Hi. Did you hear what the man said? Only 22 shopping days till Christmas.
You know, there, Mike, he almost says hiya, but instead he just says,
hiya.
Hi.
I'm going to go out for a three martini dinner.
And remember, Mike, his name is James Fitzpatrick.
Is that the guy? Is that really the announcer's
name?
We
found his name out. He also narrated travelogue films in the 40s. Mm-hmm. For maybe MGM, and his name and his voice comes up on Turner Classic Movies if yes. you see his travel talks. But
so, is there anything of a material nature that you gentlemen particularly want for Christmas? Is there anything that would
yes?
And take all the restrictions we've been talking about off. All right?
I'm sorry. I know we don't like to move backwards, but you didn't cover one important part about the cocktail party.
Mm.
It is the 15th anniversary of this show, of the wow. podcast to the day.
That's
15
amazing.
Years on December 7th.
Oh yeah, because so Josh, you're gonna have yeah. people. What are they? What do you want them to do?
We're gonna it. Last time we had a lot of fun with the Ask Me Anything questions.
Okay,
so we're gonna bring it back. But it's got to be related to the history of the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that could be a sticky wicket right there. That
I'll help you.
Really, really sticky.
Well, that's, you know, that's where
details,
the fun happens.
I mean.
Yeah, the fun happens when I got to talk about Christmas, the ghosts of Christmas past. that's what I have to do. That I
long
don't really
past?
Like
no, your
do.
Past, Mike O'Mara.
anywho.
All right, thank you for letting me throw that in there.
So Christmas cocktail party, 7 o'clock. Be there. We really want to have our biggest cocktail party show ever with our largest amount of viewers. And it's live streamed for your entertainment. And please join us. And if you want to go, you go to MichaelMaraShow.com. That's mm-hmm. how you do it.
Yep.
Hop on, and we will be there for you. Can they get through? Is there any other way to get there?
Yeah, Mr. it is Soroka? Better if they go through Facebook or YouTube.
Okay, there you go.
You currently can't watch live on MichaelMaraShow.com.
Okay, so you actually go through Facebook or YouTube
yeah.
to get the live stream. So Facebook,
right.
The Mike O'Mara Show on Facebook or YouTube. Just go there, put our name in, and you'll get us. That's
come
it.
On
we'll
out.
Be doing
yeah.
that.
You
on,
should be following us on all that stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Amen. That's the way it goes. So as far as you gentlemen are concerned, if there was one material possession, and I will say in reach, fantasy reach. And when I say fantasy reach, not that it would never happen, but that if somehow a significant other, took out a home equity loan and was able to produce something for you, you'd get it. What would that be? What would a dream gift be?
Okay, I can start with my dream gift.
Yeah, please do. Please
which
do.
Is they've started an ultra limited tour at Graceland, which is, I think, 8 a week are given. It's super exclusive where you get to go back where people don't normally get to go back. You get to touch things. You get to handle things. You get to eat in the mansion. They
smell
serve
your fingers
you
after you do it.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to touch a belt, Mike, fondle, finger a jumpsuit.
Time it to just die there as well.
Yeah, I think it's called A Day as a Presley, and I would love
dark.
To. That's but it's thousands and thousands of dollars. The thing is, though, you did get to choose your 8-person group, and I would include you too.
Oh, well, that means you'll have at least one slot that'll be available.
Mike, if I were to somehow get this multi-$1,000 package and I invited you to come, no cost to you, would you come to Memphis one more time?
I'm going to answer that question this way.
Okay.
There are, as I have said, with all the poking at each other we do on this show.
Right.
And there is nobody that's more fun to travel with than Rob. I mean, it's so we have probably some of our greatest moments and laughs.
We do.
When we've been on the road. I think you more than most would understand my reticence to trundle down to Memphis, Tennessee, when I was really required to go for many, many Augusts.
I understand, but
I
we wouldn't go in
so
August.
Much.
And we wouldn't have any requirements of us except to have a good time.
You know
and
what?
It would be a pretty remarkable thing, I think.
If it was for the show and we were going to record the shows down there, I would probably say yes.
Good.
I would probably say yes. That would
Josh?
Be special. Josh, how about you? What's a,
I can do it remotely.
Okay. All right. Well, I was asking you for your dream gift. Yeah.
No, I was asking if he'd come, and the fact that he's going to use Zoom to go to Memphis.
He could drive.
No,
yeah, you're closer. Yeah.
I'd be there. especially if we could do show content.
All right,
yes,
very good.
Of course.
Very good. What about your dream gift?
You know, it's getting close where I'm getting the itch to upgrade my truck.
Okay.
And move to a new vehicle.
Okay. Mm. All right.
So,
do you have a large or small truck now? Do you have
I have a small truck.
Okay. Would you like to get a behemoth? Would you like to get like one of the powerful ones?
He would like to get Mike an 18 wheeler.
No. Have you seen the price of gas lately?
Yeah.
No, just something I haven't. More... Well, maybe that's it. Maybe move to electric.
Electric trucks, they're fun.
But,
all right, stop. Turn it off. Turn it off, please.
No, we've been looking at the Ford Bronco.
Okay.
And the Jeep Gladiator.
Ooh.
So
now, do you
like
think
movies about
any...
gladiators?
Do you think that it's a Jeep Gladiator? Is that really the name of it?
Yeah, that's their pickup truck.
Oh, that's exciting. Wow. Well, I wish you the best. Me?
No. No chance.
No chance. My no chance would be a, if I was really surprised, would be a really good golf simulator, like with the screen. Oh,
you've been singing
everything.
That for a long time.
Yeah, but there, it's
hey,
not
you freed
happen.
Up your garage.
Yeah,
you took the studio
did,
out
no,
of the garage.
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it could be.
You got
fantastic.
Rid of the pipes and fabric.
Yeah, I would have it. I would have it done. I did. Oh my God, did I?
Too bad you couldn't use all that piping to use a golf simulator. You could make one.
I should have kept it. Not.
Yeah. Pipes and drapes.
That goes in a separate pile. And then I like opened my leg up. It was like
with
one of the pedestals. I sliced a chunk out of my leg.
Oh, I thought you meant you just spread your legs.
No, I didn't spread my legs and do pelvic thrusts or anything like that.
I never said pelvic thrust. You
so that's
it
what
it
would be.
Level.
It'd be the simulator. It would be the simulator.
What is can you thumbnail the cost of one of those for people that have never
They are
that?
So all over the place. There are people.
One,
well, this guy's put in smart
around
homes.
20.
What's
a
that?
Good one, a good one, I would start around 20 for a good one.
Yeah, for like the really mega
a
one. That's
really
20 grand.
Good one.
A
great
really,
one.
Really good one. And it's now, did you put one in at any of your golfers' houses?
I have. I've put a few in. Mm. Yes.
Oh, really? Any golfer we'd know?
Well, no, most of the ones I've put in the past have not been golfers. I do know that one is going in Cam Smith's house in a few months.
Ooh. Hey, let me ask you this. What's the labor cost on something like that, you know, for popping one of those things in? Just out of curiosity.
The labor, it's probably around $2,500 for labor.
Yeah, and that's wow. That's more than
too
I
much.
Thought.
Yeah. Too much.
Do you have a practical really gift? Something that you may actually get, Mike?
Me?
Yeah.
Kleenex boxes. The large
to wear
box
on your
at
feet
Costco.
As you always do.
Yeah, yeah. To duct tape to my feet so I can walk through the snow.
No, come on. Be serious. There's got to be something you want.
A golf shirt.
What's
the
yawn.
Club you're looking at? There's not a new golf club you're looking at?
No, I am actually not. I am actually currently satisfied with, but you know what? I can always take a gift certificate because if I go into a big box golf store,
good for
I can
Mike.
Always have, but I won't get that either. So yeah.
I've
moot.
Already bought you a gift that I think you're going to enjoy very much.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually.
I didn't buy you anything yet.
You don't have to. This is something that will benefit the show.
And I was told no presents.
Yeah, that's no right. presents. No
too
presents.
Too late.
Rob.
I already purchased it, Mike. It's not to make anyone feel guilty. I just want it to be a part of the show. That's all.
All right.
Okay. Also, what is Michael into right now? He won't hear this. Is
a
there
scooter.
Like a no? He already
the,
provided.
The scooters are we, no more. No more. By the way, he's been saving. He's been saving, and he has now, for his own use, acquired another scooter. And I asked
too?
Him.
So you guys can ride together.
Because, no, when his buddies come over, he one for his buddy, one for him.
Oh, like when George Harrison used to travel with two ukuleles, because it's
that's
not
it.
Fun to play the ukulele by yourself.
Exactly. So that's what he's done. But he, you know, over
but
the years,
like,
this is like he broke the piggy bank after multiple years. That's
I think
it.
Last year I got him some Giants stuff. Is he still into the Giants? Or?
Not well. He's into. Rob, I mean, you know, as much as you can
probably,
be into a team like that.
You can probably get a great deal on a Daniel Jones jersey.
I would
right
think
now.
So. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, and this will be the last thing because we have to move on. All I right. have to say,
you
I
don't
want to
know
this.
My practical.
What's your
wish?
Practical gift? Go ahead.
A great flashlight. I was looking around the house. I don't have a good flashlight.
Well,
I want like a mag light.
Tell nobody to get that for you. Tell nobody to get that for you. I can handle that.
I don't want you to get it for me.
I can handle it. Let me handle
Robert
the
to pay attention and listen.
No, that may I?
Of course.
You know, look for one for you.
Yeah,
and he said
I love
flashlight.
Flashlight. Oh, not fleshlight.
Right, flashlight.
There you go. Hey, well, my gag is ruined. That's it. Yes.
Either way, we're going to need a lot of D batteries.
We're going to need lots of Ds. It's going to chew up those D batteries, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, and we have a promo here, Mike, for your
very good
pleasure.
Promo time. Always exciting because Christmas time is promo time. And I hope
Mike,
you've enjoyed this
holiday
time. Holiday time is your time, and I hope you're enjoying this time with our time because we like to meld our time together.
It's scene.
Gather around the table, folks, for a bonus show that's guaranteed to stick to your ribs.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about Thanksgiving.
That's okay, because all the cool kids are digging it.
Get ready, Josh. This is going to be cool. This is like Fonzie. Hey.
Rob and Mike ask some thought-provoking questions like...
When you go to the doctor, does he hold your earlobe and ask you to cough?
And they recall the humor of past Thanksgivings.
I wanted an oyster stuffing and a turkey, and she wanted bread stuffing... And she got bread stuffing and a lot of money.
Get the latest bonus show now or purchase a monthly subscription through the store at MikeOmeraShow.com. It's guaranteed to make your holidays just a little bit brighter.
I am of the mountain. That even works with the bleep out there. Hey,
it does,
everybody,
it does,
listen to me. In a perfect world, we would all get enough of the nutrients we need. Let me start again.
Please.
In a perfect world. Oh, let me do it like the movie guy, all right? In a world where we can't get enough of the nutrients we need for high-level performance, our diets alone just won't cut it. But in the real world, everyone could use some help in continuing to find a new personal best day after day. I started with the Momentous 3. Protein, creatine, and omega-3. These are the three nutrients expert research shows as the foundation of long-term health. John Facenda now. This protocol supports every cellular function of the brain and body. The Momentous 3 is the easiest way to drive the biggest impact on health span. Even better, all of the Momentous formulas are designed... Hey, what are your goals for the upcoming holiday season? International travel? Connecting with family and friends? Remember, learning a new language can mean meaningful conversations and cultural appreciation. Can you imagine chatting with your relatives from the old country in their native tongue? You can do it. You simply need Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users. They offer 25 languages, Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, plus the built-in True Accent feature, you know I love this, gives you feedback on your pronunciation. I mean, this is meant for me. I love it so much. It's like having a personal trainer for your dialect. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value, a lifetime membership that offers lifetime access to all that Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a short time, TMOS listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership holiday special. This offer will not last long. Visit rosettastone.com/today. Listen, that's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today. Do it for yourself or as a gift that keeps on giving, ladies and gentlemen. Ho, ho, ho. It's a short Christmas season this year, so if you haven't started your holiday shopping yet, don't panic. We have the solution for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's the secret source for incredible original gifts, and that's Uncommon Goods. They've got unique hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. I love this place. All in one spot. Somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person. You know, so skip the gifts that scream last minute and find something truly original at uncommongoods.com. From holiday host gifts to the coolest finds for kids to awesome stuff for any team, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Plus, with every purchase, Uncommon Goods gives back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So make some merry this holiday season with Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TMOS. That's uncommongoods.com/TMOS for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center. All powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
Aligned with human performance experts and our NSF and... You know, it would be easier to switch voices if I didn't have a 7-hour run-on sentence. NSF and Informed Sports certified for use by professional and collegiate athletes.
Mike, if it wasn't
Don Pardo,
so
shut
important.
Up. Don Pardo. That means sourcing ingredients for quality, not just what's cheapest. They're driven by what they call the momentous standard, and it's become synonymous with the industry's gold standard in quality and efficacy. Harry Carey, so if you're interested in making a true investment in your health, why not join the best in human performance and be part of the change that's raising the bar on supplements? Just go to livemomentous.com and use code TMOS for 20% off your new routine today. One more. Dealer's choice. Who do you want me to do?
I'd like to hear Jeff Goldblum, please.
That's livemomentous.com with code TMOS. I'm pretty sure you won't regret it. There. How are you? Okay. Oh, time to play that.
Oh, time. You're great as the wizard, Jeff.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I really appreciate that. Right back at you, Rob.
Okay. And now here's Mike with his wicked movie tidbits.
play my horn thing. No, my horn. My boom, please. All right.
Okay.
Play it. Come on. Jeez, that took a long time. Disney's Haunted Mansion. Josh was up next door to that just a short time ago. They might be a little more haunted than usual right now. Disney World had to temporarily shut down its Haunted Mansion over the weekend after a guest scattered their loved one's ashes on it. It's not clear how long it was shut down for, but everyone on the ride had to be evacuated. Oh, come on. It's just ashes. An employee posted about it on Reddit as it was happening. There's a happy employee right there.
That's great.
So the employee said, as I write this, Haunted Mansion is down and being evacuated due to someone spreading human ashes on the ride. God, people.
I wonder if there's like any chance of getting sick from human ashes, I should say.
No, it's all burned up. The only thing that would make you sick would be getting into your lungs. Like
don't breathe it.
Happy haunts materialize.
They said it's a dumb thing to do because ultimately the person's ashes will just end up in the trash. Quote, your loved one's ashes are going to be vacuumed up into a bucket with mouse droppings and thrown in the garbage. That means the Haunted Mansion has vermin. Oh, no.
Now it truly is scary.
What kind of crazy person would want their ashes spread at a theme park? That would be a stupid person.
All right. They also said it was definitely caught on video, so the person will likely be banned from all Disney parks. And I would imagine someone that scatters their loved one's ashes, that's a terrible punishment. How about a stern lecture as opposed to banishing them?
Okay, Robin.
a stern lecture. Yeah, don't come back. You're not welcome, Robin. That's it.
My ashes are destined for the grizzly.
Yes, KD, you're going to go down to King's Dominion. Mm-hmm. That's going to do that. Yeah. Maybe just make this the word of the decade, not the year. Oxford Dictionary's word of the year is, it's two words, really.
What?
Brain rot.
That's not a good word.
Anyone? Ferris?
No.
Anyone?
No.
They define it as the supposed deterioration of a person's mental or intellectual state, especially viewed as the result of overconsumption of online content considered to be trivial or unchallenging. I don't read like I used to. I really don't. And I wish I did. I think it's a direct result of me preferring to be on my computer and be constantly stimulated with one thing after the other. It has caused brain rot. I believe that. According to the stats, usage of the term brain rot steadily grew by 230% over the course of the year. But it's not a new term. The first recorded use was in Henry David Thoreau's book, Walden, in 1854. So people were already complaining about brain rot in the 1850s, all the way back then. Oxford picks their word by choosing six finalists and letting people vote. The other five this year were slop. Why is that?
Stupid.
Dynamic. Oh, dynamic pricing. Okay. Romanticy, lore, and demure. That was dictionary.com's word of the year.
Yeah. Mike, as you look around our world and you see what's going on in pop culture, I don't see any evidence of this so-called brain rot.
Oh, you got to give him that huck too and spit on that thing.
I have concepts of a plan.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. Instead of lounging on the couch after Thanksgiving, Americans headed to movie theaters. I'm guilty. Went to see Gladiator 2. I didn't even talk that much about it.
Yeah, thumbs up or thumbs down, just quick.
I walked out before it was over. And I'm a passionate Denzel fan.
That's high praise right there.
It was horrible.
Loved it so much, you had to get out to tell other people.
Yeah, it's not cool. Americans head of the movie theaters, premiere of Disney's Moana 2, and the draw of Wicked and Gladiator 2 provided a big boost to the domestic box office. This makes me happy because if this is true, maybe we're going to see more theatrical releases. Maybe we're going to see the movies come back a little bit.
I think we're just going to see the tentpole guys. I don't think you're going to see movies ever get to where they were.
I don't know.
Now that it's so convenient to bring them into your house. I will go see Wicked on the big screen, probably this weekend. That's just because it's not available on TV.
The three blockbusters, Rob, you got to turn your volume up just a tiny bit, if you don't mind.
All right.
The three blockbusters led the five-day opening weekend record to soar past 2018's record of $315.6 million, pulling in an estimated $420 million as of Sunday. Do you remember, I'm old enough to remember, when those hundreds of million figures were stunning. Just mouth-dropping, and now we just go, blah, blah, blah.
Well, the Moana. It helps that a movie ticket's now $17.
Yeah, that's true. The Moana sequel set the record for highest-grossing five-day opening, earning $221 million domestically and surpassing the Super Mario Brothers movie, which earned $204.6 million in 2023.
So, hey, that's a good box office.
There we go. Come on in. The movie price stays the same as before. Yes, bueno. Well, that's Spanish. Harvey Weinstein, hospitalized yesterday following an alarming blood test. His attorney said this less than a week after the disgraced movie mogul filed a legal claim alleging substandard medical care at New York City's notorious complex, the jail complex.
Yes.
Weinstein was sent to Bellevue Hospital in Manhattan for an emergent treatment due to an alarming blood test result that requires immediate medical attention. That's, once again, according to his attorney. We did some digging, and we discovered that the blood test, and this was an emergency, determined that he has more pig blood than human blood.
Amazing.
Yeah,
not pig. Kosher.
Yeah, big pig. That's my joke.
Yes.
I apologize if any pigs were offended by that joke. I'm really sorry.
No, Mike, you're fine with the pig community.
Yeah. Pig. pig.
Piglet, you know, piggy, pig, pig,
you know,
pig.
When you've got that track record, quit your bitching. You know, just die, okay? Really, just go away. Go away and die, really.
Yeah, the recent film I've seen of him, he looks good.
He's the picture of health. Always has been. Look at some of those old Golden Globes. Oh, what a healthy-looking man. Absolutely incredible. I don't know who's healthier there, Clint Eastwood or Harvey Weinstein. I'm not sure.
Or Don Zimmer.
Or Don Zimmer. Yes, they all look great, ladies and gentlemen. All right, what's wrong with my thing?
Do it. There we go.
For nearly 9 months, this is our final story today, 112-year-old John Alfred Tinniswood. Isn't that a great British name?
It is.
My name is John Alfred Tinniswood. He held the title of the world's oldest man. His record-holding status ended Monday. Unfortunately, Tinniswood died in and they call them care homes in England. Not nursing homes.
Oh, a care home.
Not
yes.
Rest homes. Care home. A care home in northwest England near Liverpool, where he was born. No, Liverpool. Yeah. John Paul, John and Ringo.
Is now Paul the oldest person in Great Britain?
Yeah, he is. let me see. He was born, this guy, on August 26th, 1912.
Wow.
Tinniswood attributed his longevity to pure luck. Tinniswood attributed the longevity also to never smoking, rarely drinking, and following no special diet apart from having fish and chips every Friday. There you are. Here's his quote. If you drink too much, or you eat too much, or you walk too much, if you do too much of anything, you're going to suffer eventually. As my father said, God rest his soul, moderation in all things, including moderation. He also thanked his babysitter, Keith Richards. That was bandwagon.
How did I not see this coming?
There you go. All right, we'll take a break, and we will come back with a fat guy experiment gone horribly wrong.
Sad, sad, sad.
Horribly, horribly wrong. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. To whoa, 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 whoa. Hi. How would you like to be the most interesting person at the holiday party? We're having one Saturday night.
Yes.
Leave the ugly sweater at home. Just show up with a bottle of wine. I think I'm going to be going with Naked Wines on Saturday.
Really?
I think I'm going to have I think I'm going to do the wine thing. I'm really excited about that. You want a wine from an independent winemaker with a truly unique story? Fabulous. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines, a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet so you get a case of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. With our code, you can get 6 bottles for just $39.99. Naked Wines believes that great wine is an experience that helps you connect with your friends, family, and community over a shared bottle of the grape. Turn off the noise of the outside world and uncork a bottle to celebrate the little joys in life. I'll be doing that Saturday night. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. The holidays start now. Right
now.
Now. So, now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS and put in our code TMOS for both the code and the password, and you will get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's nakedwines.com/TMOS, code and the password for 6 bottles. It's the TMOS. What do you do? I'm sorry, that got screwed up. Let me read that again. All right, that's nakedwines.com/TMOS and code TMOS.
Right, you have to use it twice.
For 6 bottles of wine for $39.99. So, here's to your health, people. All right, so fat guy experiment.
Yes.
We go to Rob Spiewak, who wanted to talk about something
resident
that went
fat guy, yeah,
horribly wrong. Horribly
well, yeah,
wrong.
You know, I'll tell you something that may shock and surprise you is after, pardon me, cooking all day.
Need your level up, buddy. Need your level up. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I need you to just turn your level
after,
up.
After cooking all day on Thanksgiving. By the time we ate dinner at a little after 6, we eat in the evening, not in the afternoon, as some people do, I was not that pressed to eat a lot of the Thanksgiving food. We served it. We did. I mean, I had, you know, some, but I didn't go crazy. Where I went crazy this year.
Did you snack prior to the meal?
My mom made one of my favorite appetizers. So, yes, she made buffalo chicken dip, which is so good. Ooh.
And if your meal's at 6, you're asking for that because you're going to be snacking all day.
Yeah.
That's a late. For me, that would be a real late one. I like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
That's why you always decline the invitation. I said, come.
I know, and I wanted to come this year, but you know, I got to go to a football house, Rob. I'm sorry, got to go to a football.
We
house.
We have football on.
No, come on now. What you had on was Moulin Rouge. So,
well, Mike, it was the championship game from 1942, but we had football on.
You had the birdcage running in the background.
No,
so
my son watches the football. Yeah. So, but I was stocked with plenty of leftovers. And so I've been eating the turkey sandwiches and stuff, you know, as they go, finish certain things at certain times. And I saw something online that intrigued me. And I said, I don't know if this would really work or not. And I had all the hardware. So I set out to make, Mike, what is known as the stuffing waffle.
The stuffing waffle?
You take leftover stuffing, yeah. You put it in a waffle iron,
okay.
And cook it so yeah. It comes out to be a savory waffle that tastes like stuffing.
Do you put anything on it when it comes
yes.
out?
Yes. When it comes out, you put on turkey and mashed potato and cranberry sauce and gravy.
I'm not going to put you down for that. That to me sounds like something that would be really, really cool to do. I would
thought
like
a lot about it, and I said, this is going to be great.
So it's kind of an open-faced turkey sandwich with a waffle underneath.
Exactly.
You can eat.
That you can eat.
Yeah, I'm all in. I love
and
that.
So I get out the turkey and I give it a little bit of microwave action to make sure it's not, you know, refrigerator cold.
Okay.
The cranberry sauce can stay cold. Mashed potatoes and the gravy I warm up. And I go to put the stuffing in the waffle maker. Now, I do stuffing in the turkey, but I also, if there's any left over, I cook it in a dish. So I guess I have stuffing and dressing.
I know what the problem is.
What?
Your microphone is like 3 inches below your chin. If you lift your microphone up, you're talking into the. That is a. Is that. Try turning that.
Is that any better
mouth.
For you?
Try turning it toward your mouth.
It is turned exactly.
Pointing at your mouth.
No, Mike, it's a side yeah. fire, you see?
He right? changed his mic.
It's a different
well,
mic.
Well, now it's firing up. Turn it down a little so towards you.
11111. Better?
That's the key.
That's it.
Okay.
That's the key.
All right.
Yeah, it was hidden under the windscreen.
Yes.
So
But here is a picture of it.
Oh, and were it to turn out like that. Because
I would think with your culinary expertise, it would not be a thing.
Well, I looked at both the dressing that was cooked outside of the bird and the stuffing that was cooked in the bird. And the bird stuffing was definitely, I know people hate this word, it was more moist.
Yeah, but I mean, ours was not moist. I don't want to.
Why not? Your turkey looked beautiful. It looked great.
Well, the pigeon sisters made the stuffing in the turkey.
The cuckoo pigeon sisters? So,
oh, and Mike, she's going to kill me right now. She is going to kill me. I if she is, and she's been listening a lot live, and yes. I know that I am going to get that phone ringing.
She just loves you. That's
okay,
all.
Go ahead. All right. But
it was the
moist ones. I would assume you put the moist one in.
I put the gooey one in, and it was still sort of in balls because, you know, it doesn't exactly, it's not like a pudding texture. It's still solid.
Right.
And I have to smash the waffle iron down, and it sort of locks, and you flip it. It's like a Belgian waffle maker because you put the goo in, and then you invert it. While it cooks?
Yeah, you see those in, it's kind of like a professional one you'd see at a breakfast buffet, right?
Mike, this is a wearing. It's beautiful. It's
okay.
A beautiful wearing awful.
How long have you had it?
Oh, gosh, it might have been just after we've been married.
Okay,
it's been,
all right,
it's been
so
a
you've
while
had it a while. So you know your way around the waffle.
I do,
right.
And I set the heat on a medium high, you know, when it has the dial on it, and
gotcha.
I waited for the green ready button to light up. And I inverted it, and I opened it, and all I had was hot goo. Nothing stuck together. I was really pissed.
Were you
missing a step?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Was the binder in the stuffing to start with?
I thought through the entire process. I mean, my stuffing has eggs in it. It has milk in it. It is essentially a dough. It should work. So I think I know what the problem is.
I think the problem is... It was too moist. You should have gone with the dryer. Did you try another shot with the dressing outside
of the bird?
No,
I stayed with the moist. I scraped this out, and that's not an easy feat.
When you say goo...
It looks like what you were missing is eggs.
There's eggs in the stuffing, and quite a few. I put six in this year. So
you put eggs? I didn't make stuffing, so I didn't know. But I don't understand why it would be. When you say goo, do you mean it just fell apart? Is that what
it was? Yeah, and it just crumbled. I mean, it was not gooey going in, but it was definitely a wetter stuffing. It wasn't like gross. It was just a different texture. And it came out in like crumbs. And so I scraped it, and I have a silicone brush that I use to get all the crumbs out.
Rob's book coming out actually next holiday season will be Stuffing Makes Me Wet.
And so,
well, this recipe says you're supposed to mix two eggs into your stuffing.
Oh, so you don't just use regular stuff.
So fresh eggs.
Eggs. That way it binds
it
together.
That makes sense.
So you need to add eggs.
When I finished the first one, Carrie, who was in the family room, which is adjacent to the kitchen, it's open to the family room. She says, "How's it going in there?" I said, "Not well." And so I tried it again, and the same thing. I just got a bunch of hot crumbs. But, you know, mixed up with mashed potatoes and gravy and turkey, it was okay. But my waffle was a failure, I waited for the ready.
Do you still have leftover stuffing?
No. Well, I do, but yesterday I cleaned out the fridge of all
and
the leftovers.
Isn't it like the shelf life after 5 days is a little suspect?
Yeah, so everything went into the freezer.
Well, maybe
the meat and the stuffing went in. Yeah, maybe.
Try the grilled cheese stuffing.
That is a stuffing waffle, layer of a cranberry, layer of cheese, and then two more stuffing waffles, and then
I think that might have been sliced and stacked, Mike. I think that might be like a half and half.
That's yummy.
Did
yummy.
It have
you know
macaroni
what?
And cheese in it? I couldn't tell if it was cheese or macaroni and cheese.
I thought it was mashed potatoes.
Show it again. Let's take a peek at that and see exactly.
Oh, it could be mashed potatoes.
Like.
Yes. Yeah. Especially
that's
with
better.
The
now
the
I'm
cranberry.
Okay. I'm all in. But is there any meat on it? Shouldn't there be some meat? Is there meat back there?
Well, I would put meat on it.
Yeah,
I'm
think add some turkey, but
yeah.
You know, I didn't get any. I went to my mother-in-law's house, so there are no leftovers. So
that's
I wasn't
sad.
Able to enjoy that. And Carla's, she didn't bring any of her stuffing home, and she still got ingredients. For it. The kitty litter is still in the pantry. Sorry. I'm sorry. She's gonna
kitty litter and mattress stuffing.
Right. It's great. It's pieces of bread, kitty litter, driveway salt. It was very flavorful.
Any pine needles?
We'll be right back, everybody. Don't miss out, people. It's the 2024 Mike O'Mara Show Christmas Ornament. Your house will look extra festive when you deck the halls with us. You can bring holiday cheer to every American with this mini replica of the iconic TMOS campfire mug. It's wonderful. There it is hanging right there. Display them both side by side. It's just like Dr. Moreau and his mini assistant. Here's an editor's note. Moreau's sidekick was played by the late Nelson De La Rosa. He was 2'4". It's perfect for, decorating the tree, the office, or any place that needs a touch of show spirit. It comes with a custom loop, so it is ready to hang and comes standard in a Holly Jolly gift box that you can eat. Get one for yourself. No, do not eat the cardboard.
No. You need it for storage. I hung mine on my tree, and you know, there are some
may
ornaments.
Cause digestive distress.
There are some ornaments that just don't hang right. You know, it's difficult. This hangs like a champ. It's first ornament on my tree this year was this
and
mug.
People should know in our listening audience, the first thing I say to Rob every morning is, how's it hanging? If
that's
you've
right.
collected our yearly ornaments every December, this is the only way to get one to make your set complete. Remember to buy your 2024 TMOS Christmas ornament at MikeOMaraShow.com. Not only makes a great shot glass, you can fill it with water, freeze it, and open a skating rink for gnats. It's a real piss missile. The TMOS holiday mug is a non-denominational mug, so it can never offend, which is nice. Keep those coming. That makes my life
complete. The
hardest
part about the skating rink for Nats, Mike, is putting the shoes on. The skates are so tiny,
exactly.
Just little.
Exactly.
But they have a blast. They
all do. Right, indulge us, please. We have two big baseball fans here, both of us in the Juan Soto watch, as I like to call it, as we are
now,
waiting
Mike,
to
you
find
both
out
mentioned
where he goes.
Soto it's, yesterday. You need to thumbnail it for people that don't read the sports page every day.
Okay,
it's the
Juan
way
Soto.
To be disappointed.
Generational talent
okay.
In Major League Baseball. Probably the best hitter today for average and power combined. Not the greatest fielder. And, of course, I'm reading all the stories on what a perfect fit he would be for left field in Fenway Park. And I agree.
That's where
that.
The Red Sox play.
Yes. So,
and they did meet with Soto recently.
And he's got the Dominican thing happening. So Big Poppy, Pedro Martinez. Yes. Mm-hmm.
They said they'd bring in a couple extra players in addition to him to improve the team.
Now, let me ask this. Has Baltimore given any kind of presentation to the Soto camp?
Not that I have heard of. And it is very annoying and irritating. But the Orioles are very close-lipped about what they offer.
Boy, it would be a perfect fit for Baltimore. It's Juan Soto. But Josh was telling me right before the show that they're coming up for the baseball season next year. There will be a new rule. And I know baseball purists don't like that rule. Not a new rule.
It's not going to go into effect yet.
Okay.
But baseball has had good success with some adjusting rules in the past, like how you can challenge a play now for review.
Yeah.
And they,
which is good. I think you agree with that.
We all accepted that. And then we did the extra innings, man starts on second base, which everyone was against. I think it turned out pretty good.
Don't like it. I still don't dig it.
When I heard that, it really sounds like something that was made up that you have to finish the game before the streetlights come on.
Well, exactly. Exactly was the point of it. And I do like that game lengths have gone down. That's helpful.
Okay.
But at the Manfred was doing an interview yesterday. And he said there's a variety of rule change being talked about. And one of them that there's a little buzz around at the owner's meeting was the idea of a golden at-bat.
A golden at-bat. What would that be?
The golden at-bat is at any point in the game, you can just put your best hitter up to hit. Out of line, out of order, any point.
And is there a limit to this?
At any point, one time per game.
One time per game.
So say the bases are loaded. And Soto's not due up for five hitters, you can say, all right, Juan Soto's going to bat now.
What if Soto struck out right before,
you can give him another at-bat.
A golden at-bat.
What if Soto is on base? Can you replace him and pull him out?
Someone else replaces him, and he comes and bats.
And what happens to – what? And so the scheduled batter just – continues and moves down in the order one? Is that how that works?
Well, they haven't figured out all the details. They're also talking about the idea of you have to use it after the seventh inning, and it can only be by the team that's losing.
That's getting too much. Getting too convoluted.
Well, the whole
thing
is too much.
I think I love the concept of what baseball's doing. All right. The concept is this game is out of reach for the average young fan because we move in a fast-paced society. So we do whatever we can to speed it up and make it a little more interesting. And I like that idea that they are trying to come up with different things. But that might be – I think you got to – anything like this, it's got to be quick and simple as well. I think that's – and if you add things like after the seventh inning, losing team only – I don't know.
It's silly. It seems like it's designed for it to have more like highlights and YouTube moments and get people to I do get the idea of tuning in because, I'm not going to turn on the TV until three innings from now because Aaron Judge won't be at bat for the next couple innings. So now I need to watch because at any point he could go up and bat.
At the meeting,
scorebooks are going to be a mess, though.
Did they bring up the notion of the golden bullet rule? Where you can shoot one player on the opposing team if he's doing too well.
Let me throw this out, and I'm sure it's been discussed. What about a la the NHL where they have a shootout? And in this particular, what about a mini home run derby?
I'm sure it's been discussed.
Because that's fun, right?
Yeah, it goes fun.
If you went to extra innings, if you knew, you know what would get me back if I was somebody who loved baseball, but it just takes too goddamn long to watch a game? If you made extra innings where you pick a player with a batting practice pitcher and they get a player with a batting practice pitcher and each guy gets to stand up there for each team and they rotate just like a home run derby where they get the pitch and if they hit a home run, the next guy has a chance to hit a home run. If he doesn't hit one, they win.
You're reinventing the game, though.
No. Then you've removed so much of the game. You removed both pitching and defense from the game.
Yeah, it's a TV event that you're putting in as a keystone to the game. But I don't think you can do that.
But home run derbies are fun, but I don't want it to determine a win or loss of a game.
I think if you did that, where you knew that as soon as the game was over, if it was a tie, you went to a shootout to determine the winner, and you structured it in such a way that, you know, you bring up it works in the NHL.
No, but in hockey, they don't say, well, we're just going to put out a loser goalie out there that doesn't know how to block a puck. That's what you're saying by putting in a bat practice
pitcher. Okay, so you're
pitcher.
Saying keep the game going. I'm saying that you want to modernize, you want to make it fun. The extra innings, you know, that is part of the game. But all these changes have changed the game with replay and all that. I think it might be interesting. I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to, or maybe you could retool it to speed things up. There's nothing worse than a 14-inning baseball game on the West Coast when you're on the East Coast. There is nothing more horrible than staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning to watch your team finally lose. It's soul sucking, soul crushing.
What if they win?
Then I feel satisfied, but then I take an hour and a half, 2 hours to get to sleep because I'm all ramped up.
The Orioles once had an 18-inning game, I believe, in Seattle, where I fell asleep and woke up and the game was still going on.
Did they win?
Yeah, they won.
Oh, there you go. Worth it. All right. Well,
you know, Mike,
we'll
up till now, I always
later.
Thought the golden batter was what I put in my waffle iron.
There you go. You know, how about the golden shower? That would be now. I'm
That's
watching.
After the game.
Now I'm watching.
Mr. Zimmer?
The inventor of the golden shower in baseball. Anyway, we have to take a break. We will come back with some beautiful video and more fun and thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. All right, we're talking about it, and we're promoting it because we want you to join us for our wonderful, wonderful cocktail party where we're going to raffle off a fruitcake, but that doesn't take away from the fact that our fruitcake auction is still going on. Tis the season to win the coveted Spiewak fruitcake. This isn't your grandma's fruitcake. It's better. For just $5, you can snag a shot at owning one of Rob Spiewak's legendary homemade fruitcakes. There are only 5 available this year, and only one of them is up for grabs in this exclusive Cocktail Hour raffle. The exclusivity has never been higher. Each $5 entry gets you a name on the spinning wheel of fate, and we'll spin it live. We'll do it live!
Live! Live!
During the cocktail hour this Saturday night to crown the lucky winner. You need not be present to win, but you do need to grab a raffle ticket. So don't be a piker. Pony up and take a chance on a fruitcake so delightful, you'll be dreaming about it until next Christmas. As Rob likes to say, it's not just a fruitcake, it's a Spiewak. Spin to win, because this year's fruitcake is the ultimate prize. Here's the best part. A portion of the purchase price will be donated to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So the more you bid, the more we give to LLS, and that will truly make you feel merry this holiday season. Bid with confidence. Play Jerry Todd, Rob Spiewak.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Dan O'Brien.
I just want to say hi to Dan O'Brien. I haven't seen him in a while.
Hi, Dan.
And, you know, I got a lovely call from my mother yesterday. She is trying to burn up some personal leave before the end of the year, so she did not go into work yesterday, which allowed her to watch and listen to the entire show. She doesn't normally have a chance
Sharon.
Do that live. And she said, I like Josh. Josh is sweet. Do you know that he swallows his G's?
Oh, my God. She is new to the show.
I said, not only do we know it, it's really become part of the fabric of the show.
She it says, has.
Can you do anything about it? I said, do anything? I love it. She said, okay. Anyway, but her first thing she said about you, Josh,
something?
Is that you're sweet.
That's very nice. Rob, I've got an idea. And since you brought it up, I thought I'd throw this in there.
Please.
Somewhere down the road, look for Josh Soroka's English class. Where all we have is every day Josh comes in with one little piece of grammar instruction for our listening audience every single day.
Mike,
I think
isn't
that'd
it Josh Shroka's English class?
English.
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 No, I got the G's in the middle of the words most of the time.
Okay, that's true.
It's, it's ING. English is fine.
Okay. Wouldn't it be fun hearing Josh Soroka lecture our audience on the use of prepositions? I think it
would. Participles, big deal. Gerunds,
absolutely.
Huge.
Take it away.
I worry about David Lee Roth. He
can't stand David Lee Roth.
I know, and I think the turning point might have been the viral video he tried to spread around the socials, I guess it was a couple years ago, where he showed up at a hotel room that was having a party and invited himself in because they assumed he knew he was David Lee Roth, but no one knew who he was. Yeah. So his reputation,
it's like a look at me moment. Didn't he get enough glory when you were fronting the greatest rock band of the generation? I mean, come on.
Well, yesterday he puts up on the social media, this is pitiful. It's him lip-syncing the song Panama, but not the recording of Panama that he made with Van Halen, the recording of Panama he did as an independent artist. And the whole thing has a surreal quality because it's just him alone on a darkened stage. Still wearing his leather pants. Now, he's not singing. He's lip syncing.
Jumping, what's that sound? Here she come, foot out and top down. Hot show, burning up the avenue. Model citizen,
zero discipline.
Sad, isn't it?
It
I mean,
is.
Even the stage and the lighting looks like not a bad karaoke club, but a karaoke club. All told.
Do you want... go ahead, Josh.
With the short hair, he looks like Billy Idol.
He does.
He doesn't look like David Lee.
Well, he looks like an older, shaky David Lee.
Do you want a textbook? And now they're very old. But if you want a classic example of how you maintain that vibe, I give you AC/DC. You go see AC/DC, and you see a performance, and they're old farts too, but they pull it off. All right.
Well, they're not also lip syncing to the. I mean, he's no better than Frank. He's no better than Frankie Valli there.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a Frankie Valli moment right there. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry to hear that. So let's do something more solid as far as music goes. I like most Christmas music. I truly do. There's one Christmas song I don't like, and that's The Little Drummer Boy. I like.
Don't say that to Carla. That is her favorite song. I love it, too. It's great.
Well, I mean, the original one, the Harry Simone Corral or whatever it is.
Where the high voices come.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
I like the Bing and Bowie version, but I don't like the original. So
you like the jive version.
Mike, I don't know why you've turned this into something ugly.
Well,
I'm
because,
just saying,
because you have dissed one of the great... great songs.
It was
of the
a
season.
It was a huge hit. Mike, I guess you like corporate. I guess that's it. And that's fine.
No, it's not corporate.
No,
it's just the original song. It's the original song. It's not from a TV special.
Well,
and
what
I believe
happened?
It's King and Country that does a good modern version of Little Drummer Boy.
All right. But anyway, it's just not my favorite. All right. I'm allowed to rank them until I heard this. What the Little Drummer Boy needed is not any sort of modernization with another vocalist or a TV special. What the Little Drummer Boy needs is Florida. This is from the website There I Ruined It. And this is their version of the Little Drummer Boy. Oh, and low.
Apple bottom jeans, boots with a fur. Looking at her.
I don't know what the voice
she
is. Sounds like Frank.
Floor, the next thing you know.
Might be a synthesized voice, But I like the lyrics.
Shawty got low, 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 low.
Shawty.
Let's get this mother crawl.
Baggy sweatpants, Reeboks with the straps. She hit the floor, the next thing you know.
I love it.
I'll go ahead and play to the label.
Shawty got low, 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 low. I'm into that, I love
Wow.
Shawty got low.
Shawty got low.
Shawty got low.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Mike, some of it really fine.
That is a great website. There I wrote it. Some of it really fine.
Bonnie Campbell yesterday was found and accused of drunk driving around an airport. And they let her off. But the next day, Bonnie Campbell was again driving drunk around an airport.
Is Bonnie Campbell a famous person?
No. She comes from Oklahoma, and she's at the Oklahoma airport hanging out in the hangar, so to speak, and drinking. And this is her arrest. And this is almost a textbook example of the way drunk people react when they're pretending not to be drunk. Okay. This is her arrest.
Is that your car?
Yes.
Okay. How much have you had to drink after these gentlemen stopped you? So when the guys came out here and stopped your car and took your keys?
I don't know why they did.
All right. Were you drinking after they stopped you?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you didn't have anything to drink once they stopped you, right?
No.
Okay. How much did you drink beforehand?
Can you pause it?
I can.
Okay, the answer, I have a friend who may or may not have, familiarity with the law on these matters, including a very prominent attorney that represents some people that have had a run-in or two. And, that answer right there would probably, have moved things along in her direction for the better if she had said, yes, after I was stopped, I had a whole bottle of booze.
That's true.
She's ossified.
Yep. And Mike, not that I have any experience either in looking back on situations like that, but the proper answer is always, officer, not a drop.
Yeah. My favorite one, the comedic one, and it's a true story, is the guy that's driving along and cop pulls him over and comes up to the window and says, have you had anything to drink tonight, sir? He said, I've had about 100 beers. Just gave up.
Before we close, I got to tell the story about John Madigan's father, who was pulled on the way back from Charlestown Racetrack many years ago. We called him Smokey. And Smoke got pulled over, and he had been driving a little erratically. And the officer asked him to get out and walk the straight line on the side of the road, the painted white line.
Yep.
On his second step, his foot went under him, and he fell, rolled down a large hill into a creek. And obviously this concerned the officer, so he took out a flashlight and shined it down to find Smoke laying in the creek. And Smoke yelled up, how am I doing?
There you go. How am I doing? if you don't laugh, you cry. That's the way that
Okay,
goes.
And let's close with this. Mike, do you remember yesterday what song I had caught in my head? Horrible song.
No, I forgot. I forgot.
It was Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Oh, I heard about this.
And this is great because this is filmed in an actual post-Thanksgiving turkey trot. One of those lighthearted, like maybe a 5K run where a lot of people get out and run. And keep an eye on the old lady. She's sort of in the middle of your screen. Okay, they're coming around the corner by a church. One deer runs through.
That grandma?
A deer ran into grandma.
Grandma did get run over by a reindeer.
Watch again. She takes a marvelous hit. Okay. Well, it looks like it took out two oldsters.
Yeah, it took two of them.
Yeah, I'm Mike, and you're right. That's not funny.
Ho, ho, ho.
You should never give a license to a man who plays with elves. That's what
wonderful.
They say in the song.
I love it when a song comes true.
That's all I got for you. Like the little drummer boy.
Yes, I cannot believe you don't like that song. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, cocktail party coming up this Saturday night at 7 p.m., complete with our fruitcake raffle. Lots of fun and maybe Christmas music for you. For Josh Roque and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
See you guys later on.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Cotton nail bath tissue.
That will never happen again, and I'm sorry.
Oh, you left out a bunch of stuff.